It's my joy and pleasure today to welcome to the pulpit our brother, the Reverend Reggie Cranston, who is minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope in Ontario, Canada. And we are thankful to the Lord that in his being here in the province for a couple of weeks, he's able to come today to this morning worship service and bring God's truth. He preached last night at the Young People's Rally, and the Lord blessed the word to our hearts, and we're thankful that he's here again this morning to minister in the Word of God. Mr. Cranston was formerly student minister in Oma, and then minister in Newton Abbey for a number of years before he moved to Canada. And we thank God that the Lord has been with him there and has blessed him in his work and labours for Christ. I had the privilege of being with him back there at the end of October, beginning of November, for a week of meetings. And we had great fellowship together, praying together every day, and then the meetings throughout that week. We also, then on the Saturday when they closed, we drove down together to Philadelphia, where I preached, and he was preaching up in Allentown. So we had great fellowship in recent days, and it's good to have him back. We welcome him heartily, and we trust the Lord will bless him now as he brings the Lord's word.
We're turning in the word of the Lord to the Gospel of John. Turning to John's Gospel, chapter 21. And as you turn to that passage of Scripture, I'd like to say that it is indeed a joy and a kind of a privilege to be in our church here in Ballymena this morning and again last night. I still remember vividly the Gospel mission that, with the Lord's help, we conducted here, and can't believe that's 14 years ago. We've been 15 years now in Canada, 13 years in Port Hope. I'd like to bring you greetings from our small congregation there. I should say that we visit your church every Lord's Day. After we come home from our morning worship, my wife and I go on to sermon audio. We're able to participate, even at 3,000 miles away, in the morning worship or the evening worship service here. We enjoy that immensely. And I should say that there's a lady in my congregation who sets her alarm clock at 6 o'clock every morning and gets up for the webcast at 6:30. And I must say good morning to Mrs. Brown. I'd be in trouble if I didn't when I go back. But it is a joy to be here today, and I'd like to thank the Reverend Greer for the invitation. Our friendship goes back many years to the Theological Hall. We sat together there in our studies, and it's amazing in the providence of God where the Lord leads us and places us in the field of His service. We did indeed enjoy Mr. Greer's ministry with us in our anniversary services last October. We did enjoy times of prayer the two of us had together. They were great times, the times of fellowship. So we're glad to be here today. We do bring you greetings from our congregation, my wife and family. May the Lord meet with us this morning as we gather around the Lord's own holy word. John chapter 21. We'll begin reading at the opening verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Amen. We'll end our reading in verse 17. With the earnest prayer that God will bless the public reading of this holy and infallible word to our hearts this morning. Just before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts today, let us unite once again in prayer. Let us bow head and heart before the Lord. With God's holy word open, let us now pray over this word. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. Let us pray the Lord will give us ears to hear and a heart that is open and ready to receive the word. Our loving and our gracious Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we bow in thy holy presence this Sabbath day. We bless thee, Lord, that in thy providence and thy grace were found in this place of worship. We know, Lord, that there are many, and because of illness and sickness and infirmity, they're unable to go up to the house of the Lord, and how they would love to be in the courts of the Lord. Lord, bless them today. And our gracious Lord, we pray that thou will come now. And O Lord, we would, like that minister in the synagogue in Nazareth, Lord, we would hand thee the book. And Lord, we would ask thee to open the book today. For Lord, we know that no one can open the book as thou can. And we pray, Lord, thou would open this book and reveal to us things concerning thyself. For dear Lord, it is our prayer. It is the prayer of the preacher this morning that we would see Jesus. For Lord, we know that if we see Christ, we'll be changed people. For then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. May we see the Savior today. Lord, bless this church in Ballymena. We'll thank thee for it. Thank thee, Lord, for thy servant, what thou hast done for him and through him. And, O Lord, we pray that indeed it might be true that the best is yet to be. Now, Lord, come and still us in thy presence. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Spirit minister through us. And help us, Lord, to speak well of the Savior. We ask all these things in his name. And always, always for his glory. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. The words that we find in the 12th verse of this passage we have read, namely the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples that morning when he said, Come and dine. Those words mark the time when Simon Peter was restored to the Lord and revealed his love to the Master. It was then when they had dined that the Savior asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me, Simon Peter? But that morning, not only did this disciple reveal his love to Christ, but Christ revealed his love to Simon Peter and the other six disciples who were there with him. And that love is revealed in those words, Come and dine. Simon Peter confessed his love for the Master. And that morning he had been shown his Master's love for him. A love that is summed up in those words, "Come and dine." Having forsaken and denied their Lord, Simon Peter and the others must have believed that after what they had done, that they would never have an opportunity to dine with Christ ever again. They must have believed that they would never again be asked to dine with Christ and commune with Christ and have fellowship with Him. After all they had done, how they had denied Him, how they had deserted Him. But then that morning, that wonderful morning, as the Lord Jesus stood on the shore of Lake Gennesaret or Galilee, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." They would have seen how much He loved them by the very fact that He had gone out that morning and sought them. They had failed their Lord and had returned to their fishing for fish. But the Lord had not forsaken them, even though they had forsaken Him. Why? Why, after what they had done, would He come and search for them and reveal Himself to them? Why? Why, after Peter had denied the Lord with oaths and curses, saying to those who had questioned him, "I know not the man. I don't know him." Why then did Jesus Christ come after that event and come and seek Simon Peter and say to Simon Peter, "Come and dine"? Why? The answer is simple. Because the Lord Jesus loved him. Because Jesus Christ had a love that sought them out. He had set them as a seal upon his heart, and his love for the disciples was as strong as death. Song of Solomon, we're told, "Many waters cannot quench his love, neither can the floods drown it." And so in love he had sought out the disciples, and he had called them to dine with him. And dear child of God, the cold waters of desertion, the cold waters of denial, could not quench the love of Jesus Christ. That love that he had for the disciples. So my friend this morning, if you in this meeting, if there's one person in this meeting this morning, and you know that you've failed the Lord, that you've forsaken Him perhaps for a number of years now, and you have wondered yourself, would you ever dine with Christ again? Would He ever have you in His fellowship again? Then I want you to know something. I want you to know that the Lord still loves you. I want you to know that your failing cannot quench the love that Jesus Christ has for you. And you may yet dine with Him. And indeed today, He would even say, come and dine. The Lord revealed His love by the very fact that He sought them. He revealed His love by the way He spoke to them. Here's the Lord Jesus appearing unto the disciples after they had denied Him and forsaken Him. Now He comes and He searches for them and then He speaks to them. What would He say? What would the Lord Jesus say to the disciples after they had deserted Him there in the garden? Had He condemned them, they would have deserved it. Had He upbraided them, they would have deserved it. Had He rebuked them sharply, they would have deserved it. Had He called them traitors and deserters, they would have deserved it. But He said none of those things. Simply said to them, children, have you any meat? Mark that. They were still as children. He was reminding them, you are still my children. Yea, in the original, the word children there is the word for little children. Are these not the words of love? Is this not a term of endearment? Is this Savior not saying to the disciples there that morning, I still love you. You're my children. Whatever you've done, whatever you've said, I still love you. Come and dine. Come and sit with me. Come and commune with me. Come and fellowship with me. Dear hearer this morning, I want to say this is the Savior I love. This is the Savior I adore. This is the Savior I worship. A Savior that no matter how often I fail Him, bless His name, He still loves me. He still says to me, come and dine. For He is one out of whose heart, as far as the disciples were concerned, a heart that had been offended, a heart that had been wounded, out of that same heart flowed that day a love that was willing to embrace those disciples. For He said to them, come and dine. He saw the love of Christ in His seeking them and speaking to them. And He saw the love of Christ and how He supplied their need that morning. Wounded in the house of His friends, He now comes to those friends that had committed a deed and committed an awful deed and repays them by an act of love and mercy. He performs a miracle. I believe the Lord performed a miracle that morning, because we're told in verse 9, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Where did the fire come from? Where did the bread come from? Where did the fish come from? Christ supplied it. And the Lord Jesus said, come and dine. The word dine there means break fast. Come and break your fast. The disciples, in a sense, had been fasting from that hour in Gethsemane's garden when they forsook the Lord. They hadn't been in fellowship with Him. They hadn't been in communion with Him. They hadn't enjoyed His company. In that sense, that spiritual sense, they had denied themselves these things. Now the Lord says, come and break your fast. Come and commune with me again. And believer, if you have got away from the Lord, and you believed, you may never dine with Christ again. Christ would say to you this morning, come and dine. Come and break your fast. So the Lord has revealed His love to them. Now it was time for the disciples, especially Simon Peter, to reveal his love for the Lord. And so the Lord says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Here we have Simon and the Savior's challenge. 7 disciples were there that morning. I often think of the 7 disciples as the 7 at sea. They were literally at sea. They were physically at sea. They were emotionally at sea. They were spiritually at sea. We're told that when they had dined, the Master turned His attention to Simon Peter, that disciple who had promised never to leave Him, that disciple who had promised never to forsake Him, that disciple who had promised never, never to deny Him. That disciple who had failed to fulfill his vow and had done so with oaths and curses. Now the Lord says to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? It's interesting, the Lord called him Simon. Didn't say Peter. Used the old name for Simon. The name that he had when he first met the Lord over in John 1. And the Lord, I have no doubt, purposely called him Simon. The name that belonged to his old nature, his old ways. And here's the Lord saying, Simon. In that word, Simon Peter was reminded of the weakness and the carnality of his old nature. A nature that had boasted a loyalty to Christ that was greater and stronger than any of the other disciples. And he was found out when that loyalty was put to the test. And believer, how we need to be reminded not to put our confidence in the flesh. What we are by the grace of God. What we do it by the grace of God. The spirit is willing, but oh, how weak the flesh is. Never trust the flesh. And here's the Lord challenging Simon Peter, saying, Simon, lovest thou me? Here we have an examination of Simon Peter's love. The words the Savior spoke that morning shone the spotlight, yea, the searchlight on Peter and his love for the Lord Jesus. And that question put to Simon Peter, well, it was the right question, wasn't it? In his examination of his disciple, the Lord did not ask Simon Peter about his sacrifices. He didn't ask him about his service. He asked him about his love. That was the right question. He wanted to know from Simon Peter if he loved him or not. For you see, dear child of God, it is possible. It is possible to serve the Lord. It is possible to sacrifice for the Lord and at the same time not love the Lord. You say, but that, how can that be? Well, Paul tells us that it is possible. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding and all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, there's the sacrifice. Give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. May God deliver us from it. May God deliver us from rendering to God a loveless service. May God deliver us from simply serving the Lord out of mere duty. Or it's something we feel we have to do. Rather, may we serve the Lord with all of our hearts. And may it be a service of love. It was the right question. It was a reasonable question. In light of all that had gone on before in Peter's life, was this not a reasonable question? The Savior had heard his vows. And then he had seen him walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He had seen him stand in the way of sinners. He had seen him sit in the seat of the scornful. Was this not a reasonable question then to ask? Of course it was. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He had heard him deny his Lord. He had listened with dismay as one of his choice disciples began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. Was it not a reasonable question then to say, Simon, do you love me? And after all that he had both seen and heard, it was reasonable to ask Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And dear child of God, this morning when we fail to fulfill our vows and keep our promises to the Lord, and when the opportunity arises to speak a word in season for Christ, but we keep our lips closed, is it not reasonable to ask, do you love me? When we don't bother praying and we don't bother studying the Word, and we shun the fellowship of God's people, is it not a reasonable question to ask? Do you love me? Lovest thou me? That's what it's all about. And the Lord Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? It was the right question. It was a reasonable question. It was a revealing question. This examination of Peter by the Savior was really an examination of the condition of his heart. Because we know that the heart of the Christian is the seat of the affections. And Christ wanted Peter to examine his own heart to see if love for the Savior was there. Because you see, dear child of God, it is heart love that Christ requires. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 we read, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." There it is. The Lord wants us to serve him and love him with all of our hearts. And if through the word this morning, the Lord Jesus says to you and me, "Lovest thou me?" Can we today, with hand and heart, say, "Lord Jesus, I love thee with all of my heart"? I love thee with all of my heart. It's what the Lord was looking for. Simon, do you have a heart love for me? This question also shows us the extent of Peter's love. The Savior put this question to Peter 3 times. But the first question is slightly different from the other two. The Savior said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" More than these. More than what? What was the Lord speaking about? Who was he talking about? Some people think, well, the Lord was challenging Simon Peter and saying, "Do you love me more than your fishing nets, your boats?" I believe when the Lord Jesus said to Simon, "Lovest thou me more than these?" he was referring to the other disciples. Simon, do you love me more than Thomas? Do you love me more than John? Do you love me more than Andrew? Remember what he had said when he told the Lord he would never deny him. What did he say? He said, "Though all men forsake thee, I will never." What was Simon doing that day? Simon was telling the Lord that he was a better man than the other disciples, that he was stronger, that he was more loyal, that he was more spiritual, that he was more faithful. "Oh Lord, if these men forsake thee and deny thee, you can be sure Simon, son of Jonas, will never, never forsake thee." Now the Lord's challenging him. Now the Lord is saying, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Notice how Simon replied. He simply replied by saying, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Didn't make the same mistake again. He didn't make the same mistake again. He didn't say again, "Lord, I love thee more than Andrew does, and I love thee more than John does." No. Simply said, "Lord, thou knowest." He'd learned his lesson. He didn't try to pretend to be more spiritual or stronger or more zealous or faithful than the other disciples or to love the Lord more than they did. He just simply said, "Lord, thou knowest." And you see, dear child of God, when it comes to an examination of our love for Jesus Christ, the Savior does not measure that love by comparing it with other believers. Our love for Christ must stand on its own merit. The Lord Jesus would say to us today, "Lovest thou me?" What would we say? "Well, Lord, I love thee more than my brother does. I do this and I do that and I do the other thing. I love thee more. And so does." Don't fall into that, whatever you do. When the Savior says, "Lovest thou me?" just simply say, "Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest how strong my love is. Thou knowest how weak my love is. But Lord, thou knowest. I'm not going to compare myself with anyone else." Then you have the expressing of Peter's love. When asked, the disciples expressed his love for the Master, saying, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Here we see that Peter was genuine. We know that the word love used by the Savior was a higher form of love than the word love that Peter used. They're different words. The word the Lord Jesus used for love is a divine love. It's a love that belongs to God Himself, to the Lord Jesus. There it is in verse 7. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved." There it is again in verse 20. "Whom Jesus loved." But the word love that Peter used is a lower, less form of love. The word that Peter used when Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." The word Peter used is a word that means affection. It is a word that someone would use when they express their affection for a friend. A husband may say to his wife, "Dear, I love you." Or we may say to a close colleague or our best friend, we may say, "I love you." That's the word Peter used. What was Peter saying here? He didn't use the word Christ used. And so when Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest that I love you," and used a lesser word for love, he was being honest, he was being genuine. And what he was saying was, "Lord Jesus, thou knowest that I could never love thee as thou dost love me. Never. But this I want you to know. Yes, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I love thee as my best friend." That's what he was saying. "I have an affection for thee, Lord Jesus, that I would have for my best friend." And Peter was saying that morning on the shores of Galilee, "Lord Jesus, thou art my best friend." Thou knowest that I love thee. Not the love you have for me. I could never reach those heights. Just as the bride And the Song of Solomon cried out to her best friend. For she says there in Song of Solomon 5:16, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, she says, "This is my beloved and this is my friend." And what did she say of her friend? She said, "I will seek him whom my soul loveth." She loved her beloved as her best friend. We love the Lord Jesus, for the Lord Jesus is our best friend. Hallelujah. When the Savior asked Peter the third time, this is interesting, verse 17, when the Lord Jesus asked Peter the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He used a different word for love. He used the word that Peter had used all along. He now uses Peter's word for love. And here's the Lord Jesus, and he says to Simon Peter, "Peter, I will accept your affection, your love for me. The love you have for a best friend, I'll accept that." And oh, dear child of God, this morning, if we love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, and we love him as our best friend, Christ will accept that. He'll accept it. He'll accept it. Isn't he good? Isn't he gracious? We can never reach the heights of Christ's love for us, but he will accept our best love for him. The affection we have for him as our best friend. Peter was genuine, but then Peter was grieved. When the Master asked Simon Peter the third time, "Lovest thou me?" We read that Peter was grieved. What's this? What is this all about? He was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" I've no doubt the Lord asked him three times because he had denied the Lord three times. And so Peter had to go back and put right the old wrongs and the mistakes. And if he denied the Lord three times, then he must confess his love for the Lord three times. But wait a minute. Peter was grieved. And the Lord had only asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" Surely Simon Peter had no need to be sorrowful or grieved in professing his love for the Lord Jesus. Would he not welcome any opportunity to say, "Lord Jesus, I love thee"? Why, if the Lord said to us 1,000 times, "Do you love me?" would we not thank him for 1,000 opportunities to say, "I love thee"? Why would he be grieved? And he'd only told the Lord he loved him 3 times. No need to be grieved. He should have thanked the Lord that he had 3 opportunities at least to publicly tell him and tell all the others, "Lord Jesus, I love thee." Never be grieved over professing your love for Christ. Rejoice and thank God for every opportunity. Simon and the Savior's compassion Each time Simon Peter responded to the Lord's challenge, the Savior gave him a command. We read there in 15, 16, and 17. And here you have the Savior's treatment of Peter. The night that Simon Peter denied his Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. One of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. There's the Savior standing in Pilate's judgment hall. Peter standing at the door. He denies the Lord, and the cock crows. And it just simply says, the Savior turned and looked. He didn't say a word. Just that look was enough. And it pierced Simon right to the quick of his heart. And I lived at home with my mum and dad. They both dealt with me differently when it came to discipline. My dad's belt hung up in the back door. So you knew if you went out and didn't come in time, you knew what was waiting for you. But when you disobeyed, when I disobeyed my mother, all she did was look at me. And you know that look caused me more pain than the belt did. Because I knew then I'd grieved her. Savior, all he had to do was look. Peter knew he had grieved him. He went out and wept bitterly. And here you have the Savior. And he says to Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And when Simon said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, the Savior said, feed my lambs. You know, I believe that night that Simon Peter denied the Lord three times, that Simon felt he was finished. Do you ever feel that way? You've grieved the Lord, yielded to temptation. You've fallen, you've failed, and you feel you're finished. Lord will never use me again. Simon believed that. He believed it because what was he doing? He was back at the fishing again. He was back to his old ways again. Might as well get back into the fishing again because I'm finished. No, he wasn't. He may have believed that. The devil may have told him that. But no, he wasn't finished. As the Lord said, Simon, lovest thou me? And Simon said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. I've still got a work for you to do. Poor John Mark went with Paul, one of his missionary journeys. Got into a bit of controversy. John Mark thought to himself, I didn't think the mission field was like this. Went straight home again. It failed. And no doubt felt, I'm finished. Not while there's a God in heaven. Not while Christ has a heart of love and compassion and forgiveness. John Mark wasn't finished. What did Paul say? At the end of his ministry, he said, bring Mark with you. He's profitable unto me. Glory to God. The Lord is able to make us profitable. Even after we've fallen and we've failed. When he restores us to himself, he's still got a work for us to do. Believer, you have failed, and the devil has told you that the Lord's finished with you. The devil has told you you're finished. You'll never serve the Lord again. Don't believe him. He's a liar. You come today and fall down at the feet of the Master and repent of your sin and say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. The Lord will say, I have a work for you today. You're not finished. You see that the Savior trusted Peter. Notice what he said. Each time Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The Savior said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. My lambs, they're my lambs, they're my sheep. I'm trusting you with my sheep and I'm trusting you with my lambs. Oh, the Lord's able to do that, you see, with someone who loves him. You're the man in the pulpit here who loves the Lord Jesus. And the Lord trusts him with his most precious earthly possession, his lambs and his sheep. That's how much the Lord trusted Simon Peter. And then we notice, finally and quickly, the Savior and his call. As the Savior closes his message to Simon Peter, he uses the words verily, verily, truly, truly, or truth, truth. Equivalent to the Old Testament of the Hebrew amen. Amen, amen, truth, truth. These are the last verily, verilies of the Lord in the Gospels. Here you have the reminder. Look at verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Mark three words there. When thou wast young. And when thou shalt be old, signifying by what death, young, old, death. This is the story of the life of us all. Young, the Lord in mercy may let us grow old, but we're all going to die. And the Lord reminds Simon. He reminds Simon he must live in the light of eternity. Simon, you may be young, you'll grow old, and you'll die. What will you have done for me? We need to be reminded of that. We need to live in the light of eternity. We need to live in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. We need to live in the light of the fact that one day we'll stand before him and give an account. And we'll be asked how we lived. How we loved. How we labored. We'll give an account. Can't afford to fool around. We're going to meet God someday. And then you have the revelation. The Lord revealed to Simon Peter something about his death there in verse 19. Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Glorify God in his death. That's what we want. Want to glorify the Lord in our life and want to glorify the Lord by our love, and then when we come to die, we want to glorify God in our death. That's how we want to die. We want to die glorifying God. Why, sometimes you're called upon to conduct a funeral service of someone that you never really knew. You never really were convinced this man or this woman was saved. What a difference when a man who loves the Lord and has lived for the Lord and labored for the Lord, when he comes to die, his death glorifies Christ. That's how we want to die. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I would but gasp his name. Preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. That's how we want to die. Glorifying God. And the restoration. In verse 19 again, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. That's the word he had spoken to Simon Peter in Galilee. Matthew 4, verse 19, follow me. The word Galilee means a circle. Simon's life had gone a complete circle. He's back at Galilee. He's back at the fishing. And the Lord calls him again. Says, follow me. What was he doing? He was giving Simon Peter a second chance. If you have failed the Lord, you're away from him. Been a long time from you dying with him. He's ready to give you a second chance. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. And he still loves you. And always will. Bless his holy name. Amen.
Let's all bow together, please, before the Lord as we come to the close of our service. Trust the Lord will bless that word and that he will use it today and deal with hearts in this gathering who need it to hear it. And may there be a restoring of hearts to Christ even this day. If you want to see Mr. Cranston or myself, we'll be glad to talk with you afterwards. May the Lord use his word for his own praise. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy word which we have considered. We bless thee for the message brought to our hearts. And we ask now that the Spirit of God will take it and use it, applying it in every detail. And O God, causing that response that can only result from the operation of the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that there will be fruit brought forth, that people sitting here today who need to seek after thee, who need that restoring work done in their lives, will experience it by thy blessed power. And may their eyes this day be fixed upon the one who is able to bring back into their lives all that has been lost. And, O God, may there be a desire to follow on after thee. O Lord, come and bless us, we pray. We thank thee for thy word, for thy servant. And be with us now, we pray, as we come to the close of this meeting. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of the Lord's people, both this day and forevermore. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.